Check.
Hello? Am I on?
So I missed the episode right after the inauguration, but I mean, like, it was so hard not to Fed post. It was like, I was just like, the forehead vein was popping out of my head.
What does that mean?
Just look it up.
Okay. Fed posting is when you make a post and then it becomes a federal law.
Yeah. Fed posting is what the legislative branch does.
I see.
Yeah.
Not something you should do to the legislative branch. Not that at all.
For your own sake, I'm glad that you had to miss the episode right after the inauguration, because my head was about to explode with rage at Joe Biden. Joe Biden is de-coolifying the White House faster than any president in recorded history. My man turned every cool thing that Trump did and got rid of it, and then all the terrible things that Trump did, he was like, those are cool. Let's throw a little smoke screen around those.
I think it's actually extremely cool that Biden is continuing deportations and child prisons.
Yeah, why would he stop that? Mm-hmm. Those are good.
And that he said that it would take like 8 to 10 years to reverse Trump era immigration policy. That's cool. I wonder who will be. Yeah. He's up here saying like, oh, you know, this stuff isn't going to happen really fast, even though like 2 weeks ago he was all first 100 days in office. Because he doesn't care, because this has always been the plan. They're going to fuck us over, and like the squad and everybody's going to get in line. So get ready for that.
Much like George W. Bush finishing what George Bush Sr. started in Iraq, Joe Biden is vowing to finish off the kids in cages to complete what his father Obama started.
Right.
The father Obama.
We're also going to get a war with Iran probably, or like some kind of increase in sanctions.
Yeah. Okay, real talk though. How many times do you think Joe Biden has called Obama dad? It's got to be like dozens, it's
like,
right?
Like when you accidentally call a teacher dad.
Yeah.
Dad, stop. I mean, Mr. Strong Arm.
And then in that moment, you know that every other kid in that class is going to pick on you for the whole rest of your life.
Remember when he called him President My Boss? He was like, President My Boss. But when he did this, that was just in public.
It's like when you're in like fourth grade and you accidentally fart while doing stretches in gym class. But Joe Biden, it's just that is everything that he does level of embarrassment.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid farting in gym class, and I used to think, "Wow, what a political gaffe I just made."
Sure is embarrassing.
I must have a stutter. Yeah,
I saw a post once where someone said that they like had to fart really bad in class once, so they were like, "I've got a plan. I'll drop a textbook right as I fart, so it makes a loud noise." And covers it up, but then they dropped it and farted too late, so it like hit the ground. Everyone looked at them, and then they ripped a huge fart.
I want to say that's from like a classic green text.
It might be like a really old green text. I think you're right. Yeah, but that's basically the Joe Biden presidency, is like drop something while you're doing a speech, and everyone looks at you expectantly, and then you rip a huge fart.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I
Joe
believe
Biden.
It.
Joe Biden's inauguration was absurd.
Psychotic.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just terrible. We talked about it already.
Yeah, just the raw spectacle on full display, mainlining spectacle.
But he's only ever been then, and all he's done since then is, it's funny because I feel like even I, throughout this whole process, have been like, well, he's going to try and pander to, you know, people that got him elected. And I didn't think he would go this right wing so quickly.
You didn't think he would try to pander to literally everybody.
Yeah, I didn't think he would start being like, it's time to invade Iran now. Day two.
Who was he going to pander to? Anybody to the right of Joe Biden is in the Republican Party.
That's right.
Like, there's no like magical like left wing of the Democrats that have enough power that he's like, oh, maybe I should get on their good side. And he's certainly never going to make a political decision that's not cynical and opportunistic. Like, that's just not
just once in my life I would like to be pandered to. I would like to be pampered. I would like a spa day.
Yeah.
Can I get like the ideological equivalent of a spa day, please? Can I just have that happen once in my life?
All the blue checks, you're just like, you're so right. That should happen.
Why should we be pandered to when we could be pampered instead? It's a truly beautiful thought. But speaking of being pampered, Joe Biden has apparently removed the one cool thing Trump did the entire time he was in office, which is install a button on the Resolute desk, which is where the president sits, that if he pushes it, an aide or an assistant or whatever brings him a glass of Diet Coke. And
is it a glass or is it a like an actual can?
Oh, God, I
don't
know. Unclear. Yeah, unclear. Unclear. But what we do know is that Joe Biden, when photos were taken of him sitting at the Resolute desk, the button was nowhere to be seen, which indicates to me that it was not built into the Resolute desk, but was simply a button with like a little Raspberry Pi under it that they installed quick.
I think I saw a picture of it with when like Trump was next to it, and it basically looked like that. It's like a little cheap red button with like some wires coming out of it. Like, it's nothing very fancy.
Why couldn't it just be a text?
It's like, such like a rich, like a Richie Rich idea of like being a rich person. Because if you have a butler, you can just call them or like hit the intercom and be like, Jeeves, bring me a Diet Coke. You can ask for anything.
You could just,
the intercom button is the any drink you want button. But he's like, I need one just for my Diet Coke.
You can tell where Biden's priorities are, because all of the things that Trump did that he could day one repeal. And like, even when before it even became clear that he was going to be the nominee or that he was even elected, like, people were like, look at all these day one priorities Biden has on his website. But no, it's the Diet Coke button. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, if Bernie Sanders had gotten the presidency, that Diet Coke button would still be there.
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, what, that thing? I don't know what that does.
Bernie Sanders would have replaced the Diet Coke button with a glass bottle Mexican Coke button.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good kind. It really is better.
It's so much
it's good. It's so tasty.
It's not. they don't even make them in Mexico anymore. There's a whole history behind that.
President Andrew Yang would have a button that immediately delivers a Mountain Dew Baja Blast and a Crunchwrap Supreme.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's gamer fuel.
I should
it
have
just
voted
signs
for him.
You up for GoPuff. Now you have GoPuff on your phone.
What is GoPuff? Is that the weed delivery
it's
service?
It's like Instacart, but it's like for gas station and like more like bodega.
Yeah.
Or like knockoff bodega style goods. Yeah.
Marianne Williamson great. Presses a button on the Resolute desk and somebody comes in holding a 3-foot tall quartz crystal, it vibrating at a frequency higher than any known to man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marianne Williamson's Resolute desk has 3 buttons that are just labeled first impact, second impact, and third impact. That's a little Evangelion joke. The listeners will get it.
Oh, yeah, someone will get that. Joe Biden has done almost nothing good. Has he done anything that like the liberals have been like, you better appreciate this?
He just recently repealed the trans military ban. He's basically been like,
wow, great.
He's been signing a bunch of executive orders like that undo Trump's executive orders. So like whatever ones of those liberals didn't like, I guess. But yeah, I feel like it's basically stuff like that. Like, if you're trans, you can go die for our country in Iran now.
That fantastic. That's
but
what
if,
really
you, if you're
wanted.
Trans and they send you to Iran, then you have to use the requisite body covering of your preferred gender.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
We all support you in blowing yourself up in Tehran.
I just like that, like, regardless of what the ideological content of it is, he's just going item by item and reversing Trump era policy decisions. Like, next he'll resurrect Soleimani just like out of the ground.
I mean, John, you joke, but I think he did do that where Trump had some, I don't really know like the details of how it works because it seems very like complicated, but there was something that would have like lowered the price of prescription drugs, and then Joe Biden has like frozen that until at least March. So he literally is like taking things that are great that Trump was going to do, and he's like, actually, no, we're not going to do those.
Yeah, and he's going to reverse the biggest thing that Trump did, which was not start any wars, by launching a fucking pincer strike on Venezuela and Iran at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very silly thing to happen. And the other thing that he did is hire the first black Secretary of Defense. Is it? General Lloyd Austin, the very first black Secretary of Defense, which people were retweeting as like a big deal.
Wow.
And then
finally, the bombs will be sent by insert identity group here.
Yeah,
don't you love being part of history?
A man who's literally was on the board of Raytheon has his, as of October 2020, his Raytheon stock holdings were worth $500,000.
He doesn't have to get rid of those
and
to become
his compensation. Including
that's
stock,
low.
$1.4 million.
Only $500,000 worth of Raytheon stock? I mean, look, the guy is practically a leftist.
Yeah,
he's pretty poor. Yeah, that's what you make on Patreon. Like, we get paid in Raytheon stock, too. So, you know,
that's right.
After a few years of the podcast, we're going to have more
choice.
Than him. Yeah,
that's right. Well, he did the same thing. He appointed Rachel Levine, who is Pennsylvania's top health official, and she's fine. Like, she doesn't have Raytheon stock, as far as I know. She's fine, but she would be the first openly transgender federal official as the assistant secretary of health. So now trans people across the United States can get their medical care rejected rejected by a trans person.
Yeah, incredible.
Under Joe Biden's new revamped Obamacare, there will be death panels comprised entirely of black trans disabled people.
Yeah, famous mm-hmm. Tumblr users.
Yeah.
It looks like yeah. you said here in October of 2012 the word retarded. Mm. So yeah,
you said Doctor Who was gay, so actually you have to go to a re-education camp, and there's no healthcare yeah. there either. I'm sorry.
You call up Cigna to see if like a life-saving medication is covered under your plan, and a girl with BPD answers and starts by saying, "I just think it's funny that."
I just think it's funny that you think you deserve to live after you've completely abused and harassed everyone around you on Twitter for the past 3 years.
Yeah, just picking up the re-education hotline like at my job and being like, "Hello, it's not my job to teach you about this shit." Literally use Google and just like rinse and repeat all day.
Yeah, the Secretary of Education under Joe Biden is going to be like, "Well, it's not my job to educate you, okay?"
But a whole re-education camp where they're just like, "Look, it's not actually our job to educate you. You should try Google it, sweaty. You fucking, I don't want to hear your fucking Mayo whining about me educating you. This is a camp where you do it yourself."
Well, speaking of,
it's an emotional labor camp is what it is.
Yeah. kicking the can down the road. All right. Biden has extended the federal eviction moratorium, but has done nothing to forgive rent, forgive mortgages, do anything besides a paltry $300 of additional unemployment. And then that $1,400 check that is supposed to be $2,000 that they're, pretending is the same. Is yeah, also getting kicked down the road and so they can figure out enough means testing to make right. it like completely Byzantine.
Well, they do have a problem on their hands, right? Which is that if they let this mass wave of evictions, and mind you, there are still evictions happening, just way more would be happening. If they let all that happen and 25 or 30 million people are out on the street at the same time, the Democrats or whoever's in power is not going to be in power for much longer. So yep. they don't, here's the biggest thing. I think this is going to be a huge thorn in the Democrat side for a long time, and this eviction moratorium is just going to drag on and on because they don't have a way to get themselves out of it. They're afraid to put money in people's hands, and so it will never fucking happen.
It's not just going to be like a fucking eviction storm. It's going to be like blood in the streets style crisis. It's going to be worse yeah. than the depression. Sure. So if they can just keep kicking the can down the road until some, you know, mega billionaire steps in like Jeff Bezos and is like, "I will pay off if you have rent debt, if you're a working class person who can't afford rent, I will pay off your rent debt and you just become my property now. Yeah, I can just do you just work in an Amazon warehouse for the rest of your life." That's just how it works. That's gonna happen.
You're that is all absolutely alive, girl.
That's going to be how the private sector deals with the next major economic crash.
The fucking alive girl thing still bothers me every time someone brings it up. Girl. My brain selectively really deletes that every time I like stop talking
what,
about
what
it.
What is this? I don't know if I know what this
it
is.
It was like a sexy scent when he was cheating on his wife where he was like, "Hello, alive girl."
Yeah. What the fuck?
That yeah, it's just like, "You are a living human whose pussy I will have sexual intercourse with." Oh my God. Forthwith. It's like, at least be horny and stumbling approaching a human way.
Yeah. I think the only way to get rich is to just send the most demented sexts you can possibly think of. Like, imagine what Grimes receives from Elon Musk. Or don't. Oh. You know, spare yourself your sanity.
Yeah. Horrifying. Absolutely. Like, I'm not even going to. Yeah. But, you know, speaking of some stuff that we've seen on Twitter in the wake of the inauguration, because it really did feel like watching a wake.
It did.
Yeah, it was Joe Biden's like living funeral.
The last reason for him to be alive is finally gone.
This tweet from the other day is getting ratioed right now. Somebody said, "Repeat after me. I am not smarter than Joe Biden.
You are not smarter than Joe Biden.
I am not smarter than Kamala Harris.
You are not smarter than
I am not smarter than Nancy Pelosi. I am not smarter than James Carville. But if I stand back and watch and learn, I will be smarter than I am." Who? You're not smarter than those absolute dullards? What are you? You have an IQ of 75? What are you, returning to monkey?
What the fuck is James Carville? I don't even know who this fucking guy is.
He invented ice cream cake.
Oh yeah, yeah. He looks like Red Skull. He's got a really weird head shape.
Yeah,
he, looks, I mean, he has good sprinkles.
He at least looks like he's smart because he has such a big, you know, if you subscribe to phrenology, his skull looks like it's got a massive, you know, yeah, wealth of knowledge in it.
He's got a lot of wrinkles on his brain, on all over his face.
Looks like a golden era comic book villain. That's how you know someone is smart.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He looks like the actual Joker, the original Joker. James Carville is an insane. I thought that at first, you know, it's funny because I didn't even really read this tweet. I just, you know, everyone is making fun of it. I thought they were talking about late night show host, James Corden.
I'm not smarter than James Corden.
Yeah, that one.
If you were as smart as James Corden, Brain, you would have invented the concept of carpool karaoke. So clearly,
that's right.
Meritocracy works.
Hey, look, stupid, buddy, I'm not even smarter than a fifth grader at this point.
No.
I mean, I've just sustained so much psychic damage from everything.
I'm not even smarter than Jeff Foxworthy, and he routinely gets owned by fifth graders on that show.
Constantly.
And some of the questions are kind of hard. I don't know. I didn't learn some of that stuff in fifth grade, I got to say.
Yeah, I think that tweet went, you know, was very popular because of the fact that it's really demonstrative of the sort of, like, weird God King way of treating politicians, that they're like, they deserve their position of power. And it's the only rational way to think about it if you're going to legitimize it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if you're a neoliberal, it's completely rational to be like, well, meritocracy exists and the best politician for the job gets elected through the democratic process. So clearly these are the smartest people in America.
They must be actually the most intelligent people that exist.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the system is a sham.
Something that works perfectly if you accept it's kind of like a priori postulates, but falls apart entirely under outside scrutiny. That's a religion.
That, you know,
yeah, it's a cult.
It's the only way that, like, the fucking dog shit brain liberals will accept that they have to idolize these people without actually getting anything out of it. Like, nothing positive is happening in their lives unless they're, you know, making six figures, they have a blue check mark and a media job. They have to, like, if you're just like a working class indoctrinated lib, you have to think that these people are that much better than you, that much smarter than you, that they are literally chosen by God to lead the United States and to save the United States from whatever the made-up boogeyman is in that moment. In this case, it was Trump.
It's literally the same thing as God. It's actually like, well, if something bad happens to you, it was Biden's plan. If something good happens to you, it was Biden's, you know, grace.
Yeah, it was Mitch McConnell. It's literally, it's the Obama shit. It's Obama 2.0. That's what's happening. And speaking of false idols, 19 minutes ago, according to Twitter trends, Biden announced that he is looking to speed up the release of $20 bills featuring Harriet Tubman.
What? Fuck. Who cares?
I thought you were going to say, like, of $20 bills to people who need money, but no.
It's like, you're not getting any more money from us. We're doing 1,400 instead of 2,000. We might not even do that. It's unclear. But at least the money that you might be able to scrape together by, I don't know, selling your organs will have a picture of somebody who has been completely deified by history to the point where they're about as meaningful to the average working person as, like, the fucking mascot for their local sports team.
Well, yeah. It's also so strange because it's like that person was, you know, someone who was breaking the law, who was a wanted criminal because she was, you know, smuggling people who were enslaved out of their slavery. And they're still killing Black Lives Matter protesters and then using her as a mascot for how far we've come. Like,
yes, yeah. If Joe Biden was president when Harriet Tubman was alive, he would have hunted her down and had her murdered.
Yeah, he would have shot her personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing they've been doing to MLK's legacy. It's like, these are great historical figures, but once the United States government has their hands on their image, it's like, you can't fucking trust that, and it's certainly nothing to celebrate. And it's like you said, it's like, oh great, a stack of $20 bills that I don't have now bears an important historical figure's face on it. And it's like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, we're just exploiting your labor with the face of slaves on them. That, like, are you fucking kidding me?
Everything in the Biden era is going to be, look at this pablum that we can hold up and say, look at this cool, inspiring thing that we did while people just fucking starve. get evicted, are suffering more than they ever did under Trump, because Trump at least had the wherewithal to be like afraid of a giant crash and was it just instructed the Treasury Secretary and the chairman of the Fed to just pump trillions of dollars into the economy to stave off a total collapse of the United States economy. But Biden will just let it happen because the Democrats are fine with that happening. And they're also going to be fine with the massive backlash that it's going to cause, which is going to put just denizens of fucking legions of Matt Gaetzes and like psychos into Congress in the midterms that are coming up.
Yes, that will almost certainly happen. But I don't know if it will even be the Republican Party. Like, I think that something will, you know, they might start their own party.
I think Trump's pee-pee is going to splinter off and get really big.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, not just for the joke. I really do think, like, think about it. Like, he's got, like, about 2 years before the next election cycle ramps up. That is enough time to get a political party together, put media pressure. And he's got friends in all of the different, like, echelons of media. Like, if he really wants to break off from the Republican Party, there won't be anything left to stop him. The quote-unquote moderate or, like, old guard or whatever Republicans, traditional Republicans, are fucking wusses. They don't have a quarter of the energy that Donald Trump has. And even though he's, like, a psycho and I hate him, I definitely think that he has the political momentum to, like, outshine the Mitch McConnells and the Mitt Romneys of America without a fucking doubt.
Yeah, but I think one thing that's interesting about this whole thing is that I wonder, I think that they will perceive this as much of a coup as Bernie Sanders, you know, like I think they will try and sabotage an outsider who trying to destroy their party as much as anyone else.
Well, I mean, I'm that's interesting, but I just don't think Donald Trump occupies the same outsider space that Bernie Sanders does enough for that to translate, right? Like Donald Trump is, there's like two Republican establishments now. And mm-hmm. they're fighting it out as like two ruling class arms, whereas Bernie Sanders, even though he's not like a member of the working class, at least like on paper stands up for working class interests in a way that makes him unpopular.
I think that it's over for Trump, and whatever comes next will be more insidious and will be more under the thumb, or at least, you know, in cahoots with the Republican Party apparatus. Mm. Because they realize, and this is why they all turned on him in the end, that Trump was not controllable by anybody. Trump was truly a free agent, whereas every Republican before him was just, you know, another arm of the party. He was truly an outsider, and that's why he was almost universally demonized, especially in, you know, the days and weeks after the riot at the Capitol, where, you know, a bunch of fucking Senate and Republicans just were just like, yeah, you know what, fuck it, we want to save our own asses, Trump is bad, we're done. You'll never see yeah. somebody like Trump rise in like a populist current ever again on the right, because they know how to safeguard against that now. They know how to take the populist energy, or at least they're going to try to take the populist energy that got Trump in there and turn it and put it behind somebody who is maybe not cookie cutter, but is completely a RNC agent instead of conceding to somebody who they thought they could influence and ultimately couldn't.
But that's why it absolutely won't work. Like, no, the people who love Trump and are, like, fanatically, you know, throwing themselves in front of, Capitol Police fire will not buy that. Mm-hmm. They don't give a shit about the Republican Party. They love Trump.
They're incredibly stupid. So yeah. if the Republican Party can just figure out, like a Tucker Carlson type guy, but, like, maybe a little bit more down to earth and not, like, a bow tie wearing dipshit, but, like, doing the same rhetoric as Tucker Carlson, where it's like,
but they hate Tucker Carlson.
Well, they loved Tucker Carlson up until Tucker Carlson said something that they didn't like. They were big fans, and then they started posting. So it's like, it'll be interesting to see if the Republican Party can get behind somebody who, and they can also like thread the needle of making that person appealing to these like Q psychos.
Yeah, I think they'll fail because I think the Q people will only trust the people who love Trump and think that every single other person, including Mike Pence, including everybody in Trump's cabinet who turned on him, are child-eating pedophiles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, even outside of like, I don't even know how much of like the Republican base is like at all aligned with Q, but I think even outside of those people, it's like Trump is by far the most popular like candidate for president. So it's like, if he wanted to run again in 2024, they would kind of be in a position of like, well, do we try to keep Trump out and then his base gets really mad at us, or do we let him run but try to control him again? It's like, they might have to try to figure out a way to capture someone who's like as much like Trump as possible if they want to keep running popular presidential candidates.
I don't know who is.
Maybe they don't even care.
What they're going to do. They're going to hire a PR firm and they're going to focus group the next guy who has the same aesthetics and general disposition and general vibe as Trump, but is a RNC pawn.
But no one is like that.
I think you're not giving like PR and marketing ghouls enough credit, because if you pump enough money into any marketing campaign, it'll be successful. It is a direct correlation, the money you pump into marketing and success.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. that's how we're going to get like a Donald Trump style Ted Cruz presidency, you know? Mm. It's going to be
absolutely.
He's going to bloat himself up and he's going to eat McDonald's every day. He's going to learn how to make tactical political mistakes. And my man is going to method act for the role. You can't just dress for the job you want. You have to live for the job you want. You know what I'm talking about?
I think Rudy Giuliani has a shot, you know? He's been in the spotlight. He's on the national stage. Like, he's a household name now.
Yeah. I was going to say Ted Cruz is going to like give himself brain damage to be as dumb as Trump, but like Rudy Giuliani is already there. He has the brain damage. He's as stupid as Trump, so he could just roll right into that. Because these people apparently love someone who can go on stage and like work the crowd, but also is rambling and like not making any sense.
They want a person from New York to disrespect them. That's what they want. They've seen it on TV enough and they're like, that's pretty entertaining.
I think it's somebody who has to outwardly love Trump. Like, if it's going to be somebody that they trust, it can't just be some guy who is like Trump, but this is the problem that they're in.
So you mean Kanye West?
Kanye would be a great choice. But I think they don't trust him either because he kind of fell off the face of the earth after what he got. But I think it's going to be someone like the Q Shaman or Based Alaska or something.
Baked Alaska?
It's based did you say Based Alaska?
Baked Alaska. Mm,
he's not based.
I mean, I could see that happening. I could also see somebody like Nick Fuentes. Like, oh, yeah. I don't know if you've seen the videos of him like mm-hmm. standing in a crowd just saying, you know, basically he watched some videos of like Hitler and Mussolini and was like, I'm going to do America first, but in that aesthetic. And it like works on people. I mean, if you practice and you get high enough on your own supply that you believe the shit that you're in and you can put that vibe out into the world, like people pick up on it. And if somebody is enough of a psycho that they're actually really good at that, I think that they could capture that populist energy. And I think that there's a possibility they could like synthesize that with RNC, like, you know, the party line enough that we could see like sanitized Trump in 2024, whoever that ends up being.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Americans just want somebody to come in and be their political football coach and be the loud, angry guy who's just in charge because he's in charge. Like, people love that. They eat it up.
That's true.
Now, did you guys talk about the Bernie Mittens bullshit?
No,
not yet.
Okay, so, you know, obviously, if you're a human being and you're alive, you've seen some meme about Bernie Sanders mittens. The guy's just kind of sitting. You know, that whole thing, the reason it may have been an organic meme to start out, but it's obvious to us that blew up because the media loves portraying Bernie Sanders in a negative way. And by making a meme that at face value looks like, oh, no, he's just a curmudgeonly old man wearing mittens. What it really does is portray Bernie as, you know, just a meme. He's just a joke. He's a punchline. And that's what they think of anybody, even slightly like social Democrat or even slightly left of center. That's what the Democratic Party wants you to think, that it's ridiculous, that they are a fucking joke and a punchline, and that they will never be taken seriously. And that's why you're seeing all these insane Bernie memes and then the takes that follow, like ice cold feminist take. I love Bernie, really I do, but sir, emotional labor is not beneath you.
That's
not
absurd.
Feeling it, fucking pretend for 1 minute like most women do every minute.
Is this person just saying that
she's just constantly faking it?
Yeah, most women are liars, actually, mm-hmm. and we all just are like deliberately fucking deceiving you about how cool and nice you are. Like, we
don't think
anything that we're saying.
Feminism is all about women have to do a bunch of annoying bullshit to survive in the world, and they have to wear high heels, and men have to suffer in the same way. Women can't be made to suffer less. Everyone else has to suffer equally to them, and that's equality.
That's what equality is that everyone else should have to do all that kind of stuff, that sort of like the feminism is recognizing that I have to do emotional labor to suck up to my boss is like entirely built in the construct of like, I'm trying to get a better job. I'm trying to move up the ladder. I'm trying to be bitchy to the people underneath me. Like it's all still just like rise and grind bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Not everybody does that. Not everyone thinks that that's important. No one, like lots of people are just like, fuck you, I don't care.
Well, and like the Bernie meme had like legs right out of the gate. Like it's a pretty endearing meme. It's a good photo. I like the way his mask is kind of on crooked and he looks just like generally disgruntled. But then Todd, like when you mentioned your theory before we were on mic, I was at first suspicious of it as being incorrect. But then I started to think about it and I was like, once I saw that meme on daytime television, I should have known that like the liberal establishment, even if they don't have the tools to engineer a meme, like liberals can't fucking meme, but they can take a meme and they can take all the fucking joy out of it and turn it into an opportunistic political tool. And that's exactly what they did. So like the relief I felt looking at Bernie initially of being like, oh, look, he's fed up with the bullshit. I'm fed up with the bullshit too. And like, hopefully people are giving up on electoralism after seeing this, you know, idiotic defeat. And now it's been turned into like, look at this guy. He's a joke. He's a pathetic old man. Meanwhile, like
look at this dude.
Look at this dude. Look at the top of his head. Look at his mitts.
Look at his mitts.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do you see that? Because Bernie represents, Bernie just to them represents progressive, like a progressive platform that is actually meaningful, as opposed to like an AOC who just like, you know, makes minor aesthetic concessions to progressivism while just going and voting for Nancy Pelosi. But I also found this article by Naomi Klein, who I just want to fucking mention. Naomi Klein's a piece of shit.
Really?
She's in the pocket of the big climate activists that are pushing the Green New Deal. Like, and let's just establish here that the Green New Deal, while, you know, at face value, if you just take it, you know, things that people like AOC say about it, oh, it's awesome. But what the Green New Deal actually is insane means testing and austerity cloaked in environmentalist rhetoric. So basically taking the entirety of the climate crisis and putting it on the working class and giving insane opportunities to capital and big business to take advantage of tax subsidies basically paid for by workers. So,
well, yeah, just like the original New Deal, it's an attempt to save capitalism, right?
Yeah,
so
let's establish that. Naomi Klein is in the pocket of basically big green activism, like the people that are appropriating climate change rhetoric and then using it to get government subsidies to just do worse, you know, like doing pollution, but in the name of making solar panels and making all this shit. So Naomi Klein's a piece of shit. But she wrote a whole article about, oh, what the mittens mean? Five possibility. The symbolic power of Bernie's pair of mittens was the work of the us in not me us. Shut the fuck up. That doesn't mean anything. Those are just words.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he has no institutional power. He's not going to affect any actual change, not going to dictate policy. It is just bullshit. It is just a fake meme pushed by fucking media blue checks like you to anything but fucking material benefits for the working class. Well,
and they're trying to lie to you about what it fucking means too. Like the Bernie, like you should look at that Bernie meme and be like, yeah, man, I feel bad about it too. Like it shouldn't go down that way. But you should also in the back of your mind be like, well, you know, if Bernie couldn't do it, then it's not a viable plan, which is like the God's honest truth about this. Yeah. And like the liberals want you to think that and to be defeated by that because they want you to think there's no other fucking option. But there are tons of options. A lot of them involve guns. I suggest you look into some of those, you know, like.
Yeah. So the Bernie Mittens thing, it's like on Facebook, my mom sent me a Bernie Mittens meme. Like,
yeah, mine too. Moms love it. She was like, did you see the Bernie memes where he's sitting from today? Like 2 days after it went viral.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
I mean, the Bernie meme, like John was saying, like I think a lot of people who were really burned by Bernie Sanders losing, were like, this is illustrative of the feelings that lots of people who did that felt about Biden, and Biden winning and being sworn in. So I think that was where people were like, yes, I'm going to meme this. And then everything else was, you know, everybody sort of being like, yeah, you didn't win. Let us rub it in your faces. Yeah.
Then Jake Tapper posted a fucking Bernie meme of him sitting in the room with Rudy Giuliani when Sacha Baron Cohen had like some young girl try to trap Rudy Giuliani. It's just like they're laughing at you. Mm-hmm. They are laughing at you because you thought that for one fucking second of your life that things might possibly get better.
You thought.
Well, guess what? They won't. They never will. And everybody in power is laughing at you. Everybody in power is just behind closed doors having a grand old fucking time laughing at you. And they're sending their media ghouls to manufacture the consent for them to offer you absolutely nothing in one of the biggest crises that will happen in our lifetimes until the next one, because it just gets worse from here.
Well, something's going to buckle eventually. I don't know what it will be. And I think in America, at least at first, it'll probably be to the right. You know, we're seeing a billionaire supposedly, right? Like Trump is ostensibly very rich. A billionaire trying to move the needle even further to the right. Kind of, I guess. More specifically just to his own power and his own ego. But will definitely be usurped by a bunch of people who will only further, the corporate state.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. I mean, there's tons of sort of like upper middle class, like petite bourgeois people who are like seeing in Trump the possibility of like establishing more power. Cause when they look to the left and like all the young people who were socialists and are like, well, all those people want to take away the little, you know, fiefdom I have at my ski dealership. So there's definitely like with the rise in popularity of socialism, whatever it means to people in America, it's like barely socialism really, but there's definitely like a strong reactionary element that's only going to get more pronounced.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
Well, so what do we have on this, on the coronavirus? I feel like we haven't talked about COVID enough this episode.
Oh yeah. Well, COVID has been, really highlighting a lot of the interesting contradictions of capitalism and of, United States society, world society broadly. But something that I wanted to talk about is that there was a data scientist in Florida, Rebecca Jones, who helped actually create Florida's COVID-19 dashboard, who turned herself into police last week in response to an arrest warrant issued by the state. Now, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement has said that they're charging her with one count of offense against users of computers, computer systems, computer networks, and electronic devices for apparently, allegedly, according to the FDLE, in evidence retrieved from a search warrant on December 7th, shows that Jones illegally accessed a system that was meant to send messages to working groups in Florida's, state employee pool, sent a message to approximately 1,750 people and downloaded confidential FDOH data and saved it to her devices. And the message in question is, it's time to speak up before another 17,000 people are dead. You know this is wrong. You don't have to be a part of this. Be a hero. Speak out before it's too late. And the state government completely lost their shit over this. And then if you look into the actual case reports, there is literally no evidence that she sent this message whatsoever. She did have some documents downloaded that she apparently wasn't supposed to have. But then she on Twitter, she's defending herself. She's like, it's routine to download these kind of documents to move them from server locations to other server locations and between working groups and stuff. Okay. And then, so the big legal interesting, the big interesting legal part of this that's been revealed is that she wouldn't have had to do any hacking, which is the thing that would have made this illegal, right? Like unlawfully accessing the computer files, because she would have only had to use a username and password that she was given previously as a state employee, and that the state just didn't have the oversight to change after making staffing adjustments, aka firing and hiring again.
Yeah, it's like if you fire someone and they still have the key and you don't change the key and they come back and steal some french fries from Burger King, it's like you were just leaving them there on the street, basically.
Right.
So this is a show trial, basically. This is everything that the liberals said would happen under, or, you know, said was bad about like the Soviet years, yeah. And then it just happens in the United States now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you have the guts to stand up to Governor DeSantis of Florida and be like, hey, actually COVID down here is much worse than you say it is, they will arrest you. And
hey, more
you
like
court.
Governor Dixon ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Dixon ass.
Right. I was gonna say, but this is the woman who was like fired basically for not falsifying COVID data, like was asked to make it look like it was fine so they could reopen, and was like, it's not really fine and we shouldn't reopen, and then was let go, and then that's
why immediately fired.
Yeah, and then that's why they were like, now that you don't work here, it's illegal for you to use the password 123 to log in.
but there are precedents that might help out what was her name again? Rebecca Jones in this case. There are quite a few. And one of the most interesting ones is, I think from 1998, there was a tech security expert working for some large company who was fired, and he just took a bunch of vital files on his computer, put them in a password protected folder, and fucking left. And the law found that he was not legally required to give access to those files back to the company after his termination.
Interesting. So,
that rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says she was charged with one count of offenses against users of computers, which like
can I do that every
can
day
we
on
take,
Twitter.
Yeah, that's yeah, like seriously. That's literally everything I do. Like, can we take that and can we get some people we don't like charged with that? Can we do that?
Yeah, people making fucking like Jedi memes out of Kamala Harris and saying this is better than every Bernie meme. That's a fucking offense against me, a common user of computers. I use them all the
that's
time.
That's true.
Go to jail. Yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty crazy though, because it's like, so this was a state company that she was working for?
She worked for like the Department of Health or something, essentially,
in
Florida,
she had
I think.
A state job.
And what is happening to the people who were trying to falsify information about COVID deaths?
Oh, they're still in charge. They're running the show right now. They're probably telling the Department of Law Enforcement to put the warrant out for her arrest. Like, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. So America has been insane about this. And is just, you know, it seems like people have just started pretending it's not happening. I don't know. It seems like in New York City, at least, it's just like everything is open. Like,
I think indoor dining is still closed because they closed it and then reopened it. And we're like, oh, shit, people get sick when you do that. I guess we'll close it again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of places in Pennsylvania, all the indoor dining and shit is open. I drove by my favorite Mexican place and they were open, and I had to have like a moment where I searched my soul and reminded myself about health and safety.
Because you wanted to.
another virus related news there. There's an Ohio congressman, Steve Stivers, who is proposing that the $1,400 stimulus that is definitely coming. We're definitely going to get
that. You're going to get it. It's going to happen.
Should only go to those who get the COVID-19 vaccine, which is like, okay. I mean, at face value, that I guess, sure, whatever. Until you realize that there's massive vaccine shortages and the vaccine rollout is being insanely mishandled. Right. Also, there are people having fucking allergic reactions to the vaccine. It's like, that's not it's a very small percentage, but it's like, don't means test something so that it's contingent on another thing that's already means tested. That's insane.
Yeah, this is like fucking the drifting equivalent of means testing. It's like I'm on three different levels.
Multi-track drifting.
Yeah, multi-track means testing drifting. Yeah.
And like, also, wasn't it that like the people who were developing the vaccine were originally going to give it away for free, like donate the formula to any drug producer who wanted to make it, but then the fucking Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation stepped in and convinced them to send it to sell exclusive rights to the vaccine to AstraZeneca instead of giving it away.
No, don't give the vaccine away. You're so sexy. Huh?
So this is horrifying, but it's just a It's just a preview of the types of things that you can see as America just slides slowly into like being, I mean, it's already a failed state, but slides slowly into being like, we're going to live in Ready Player One or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just going to be, they're just going to stop giving a fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I think I was reading that companies like Trader Joe's are basically thinking about like paying people to get the vaccine, like giving them bonuses or whatever. So it's like, we're just going to see more and more that it's like Amazon and Trader Joe's and Walmart are the state. And then the ostensible state is just like, hey, in 6 months, we'll give you $100 in Harriet Tubman 20s if you get the vaccine. And then meanwhile, your boss at Trader Joe's is like, we'll give you $1,000.
So they're actually worth $21.
Yeah.
What if they become like those like gold dollar coins where like no one ever spends them because people just collect them?
Yeah.
Like, remember that? It's like they tried to circulate, like, there was like Sacagawea coins, and then they made like John Adams gold coins, I think. Oh, yeah. And no one's ever seen them because like nobody ever spends them.
I have a jar of those in my basement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad has a stack of those inside of his jar where he also keeps his buffalo nickels and wheat pennies.
Like, yeah, imagine how stupid you'd be as the federal government to circulate a coin made from gold when I could just take that gold, melt it down, and make more money off of it. fucking idiots.
Amateurs.
It's just like, I used to actually get a bunch of those from the bank, and I would just put them in my purse. I would just like have only Sacagawea coins.
Oh yeah, well it's like sometimes you'll see like a vending machine with snacks or drinks in it, and it'll be like, we accept gold dollar coins, and I'm like, great, I haven't seen one of those in 10 years. Like,
yeah,
I got a $2 bill and change from Bodega the other day.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
I'm like, I'm not gonna spend that, that's fake.
I haven't seen a $2 bill in so long. You guys ever listen to that story Steve Wozniak tells where he will like order a like sheet of $2 bills from the mint? Like apparently you can just like get them still like all connected, and then he would like go to like Whataburger or whatever and spend them, and they're like, what the hell is that? He's like, well, it's really money. Like, he just likes to fuck with people by spending like $2 bills that look really fake.
There's some joke about like if you get to that, if you go to a strip club, you should get $2 bills because they look like 20s in the dark.
Mm.
When I was valeting in front of a hotel for a few months, there was this weird old guy who'd showed up once in a while, and he would only tip you if he had $2 bills in his wallet. Like, he'd open it up with a bunch of ones and fives in there and be like, I'm out of twos, I'll catch you when I get back. And I'm like, just give me $2, you fucking psycho.
Yeah, well, John, what that sounds like to me is that the federal government has failed so hard that now the individual citizens have to mean test other individual citizens.
Yeah. I love means testing so much. I'm becoming the guy from Better Off Dead with John Cusack.
Does he means test a lot in that movie?
Not everyone has seen that movie.
I've not seen it.
I think that COVID has just become this thing where people just assume it's going to go away. And like Benghazi, I don't think it's going to go away.
Ain't going away. Thing.
It's like every crisis, like under disaster capitalism, every crisis stays in the news for as long as it's politically beneficial for one side or the other, or as long as it's beneficial to capital. And it doesn't stop being a crisis when it stops getting talked about, but it sure as hell stops getting talked about. Like,
pretty quickly, yeah.
Katrina, the hurricanes in Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. like, major
the Los Angeles wildfires,
the fires. Those are still there. In some cases, they burned for months after the media stopped talking
so
about
insane.
Them. The fucking the housing crisis, the subprime loans. I mean, it all stopped getting talked about, but it's all still going on. Like, banks stealing people's homes are going on right now. There's a house across the street from me that is literally in the process of being stolen by a bank from people who rightfully own it. It's like, I told them they should buy a gun, but you know,
damn.
It's funny. Yeah. I went on, I've heard about this website that is generally for busybody, white people to, yell about suspicious looking people in their
Citizen?
Neighborhood next door.
Yeah. Oh, next door. Yeah.
And in my neighborhood, at least, it's just full of people like, should we start a landlord like snitching thing where we can like talk about
Absolutely.
How bad our landlords are?
That rocks.
And like,
fuck yeah,
there's some people complaining and be like, I'm a landlord and I don't think you should do this, and like, I'm having trouble in COVID too. And like, it's just hundreds of people saying like, maybe you should get a real job.
Ah, that rules.
So it's like, I mean, maybe it's just because it's Brooklyn, but like, I feel like the general like tenor of people's politics is really starting to change as they're faced with like straight up poverty, like in homelessness.
Yeah. Well,
like,
and the failures of
cyber,
an incoming
cyber Maoism. It's an app to do struggle sessions on.
Yeah. Well, and yes. People are also having their opinions turned around by the incoming failures of the Biden administration. Like, it's, you know, happen. Most of the people in my family are like pretty center liberal, like they like Bernie, but they probably didn't vote for him. And like, even they are starting to be like, yeah, is this all Biden's going to do? Are these all the changes that we're going to see? Is it just going to be a few token things and then like a bunch of defense spending? And I'm like, yeah, uh-huh. Yes, that's absolutely right. That's, and it's nice to hear it come out of your mouth instead of me screaming it at you.
But then it's also like, why? That's what Obama was. Like, that's what Trump was. Like, nothing changed.
Well, but Obama kept the facade up really well. Like, Obama was good at being on stage. Joe Biden is the complete polar fucking opposite of that.
Right. I mean, that's why I think if anything good can come out of the Biden administration, it's that people are going to start realizing that voting blue, no matter who, actually makes things more right wing and worse in the long run. And that you're going to have to do something else. And it's not going to be just voting. If voting at all.
Right.
We're going to have to destroy America is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The whole thing has to stop.
A lot of people, like when everything was going down this summer, they really started to think like, oh, we're Russia in 1917 right now. No. And it's like, no, you know, you got to wait for Nicholas II to not fulfill his promises to the Duma and a bunch of other shit has got to happen before the actual peasant and working classes like have that same consciousness that you might have, you know, Vladimir Lenin sitting in a coffee shop in Switzerland in 1905.
Right. And I mean, like, the problem is that we don't really have a working class. Like, we don't have people who think of themselves as workers. And like, that's been
not a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Almost nobody. Like, yeah. Even people who, you know, run DoorDash and work for Amazon or whatever, or Uber drivers, like, are just like, well, I'm between jobs. You know, like, are right. Everybody like has this like this belief that eventually they'll be able to just change their life, you know, because that's how it's always been. It's like, oh, eventually I'll get a good paying job, or eventually mm-hmm. I'll you know, invent something or start my own
eventually
business.
I'll take my Uber delivery driving savings from like the last 20 years and I'll be able to open up a mom and pop hardware store in the middle of town. Yeah. Like,
And
yeah, like, I feel like I've had Uber drivers who talk about like, like I'm trying to get into investing in real estate, or they'll be like listening to like self-help like audiobooks or whatever. Yeah. It's just like they have some like secret trick that's like, here's how I will not just be driving an Uber until I'm 90.
Well, that's like my dad my whole fucking life. My dad has been like asking me if I want to hear his ideas for perpetual motion machines, because he thinks that's the best way to get rich is to solve the energy crisis once and for all.
By breaking entropy.
Yeah, he used to text me. I got a text like last year from him.
Oh my God.
He was like,
this
I have an
true.
Idea
this
for
is awesome.
For like a heavy cylinder, and you put it on its end and you have it wobbling on one edge of the circumference of the circle on the end touching the ground, and from that you might be able to extract more energy than you put into it. And I'm like, keep dreaming, Dad. It's beautiful, but it's not going
to
work.
I hope I don't do that. I would cause a black hole to engulf the earth if I just kept drawing more energy in constantly.
But that's the level of like, that's the level of like drive that people have to get outside of whatever shitty, like, you know, he works for a pharmaceutical company. Like, that's not a great job. It pays his bills, but it's not fulfilling. And so like his idea is to like believe in magic. And a lot of people will just find their own version of believing in magic, whether that's a self-help book or, you know, penny stocks or whatever other thing they're trying to get
into.
Crypto.
Shrine to Kamala Harris out of hair and various like used chewing gum scraps.
Yeah. And then you can poke it with pins and needles whenever she doesn't do the Yas Queen.
Just buying GameStop stock and hoping that this weird scheme of everyone on Wall Street bets buying GameStop stock to pump it up will make you money and
that
not crash.
Shit is hilarious.
That shit is so funny.
But I think, you know, I think what the goal of people needs to be is starting to have a working class to say, like, this can't just be like wages aren't enough. Like saying like we want to get paid better for our shitty alienated work, like, needs to stop. Like, this is the thing, because like Joe Biden has been like, well, maybe we'll raise it to 15, and everyone's talking about fight for 15 and stuff. And it's like, I get that, like, disparate activists are trying to do something, and I'm not trying to poo-poo people trying to do something, but like the goal has to be people aren't ever going to get a good job with when the capitalism still exists, and you're going to be the working class, and you have to have pride in the fact that you are working class and that you should be in charge of everything. And until that changes, we're not going to be able to see much change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people talk about how it's like it should be $25 an hour now, or it should be 30. Well, it's like, which would be great, but also it's like if you get cancer, you know, fucking $1,000 an hour might not be enough, because sometimes you just like owe hundreds of thousands of dollars for medical treatment. There's so many ways in this country that you could just become completely bankrupt,
immediately poor,
no matter how much money you make an hour.
Because the limit of people's imagination is getting paid more and not killing the people that are stealing your time and life and home.
Mm-hmm. Right, 100%. Yeah. And that's the imagination has to be grown to, you all deserve to be in charge of your own life. And even if the work that you do, like, does the job you do need to be done? And if not, what should we be doing as a country and as a community? And until we can convince people to be fighting for that, you know, we're just going to be stuck in this cycle of like, please give me some crumbs. And while everybody just like, does imperialism in the Middle East.
If you're going to make an ask about like wage labor anyway, like you should go way, way harder. Like $25 an hour is still a fucking joke. We've said this before on my other podcast, Work Stoppage, the 4-20-69 plan. Four days of work a week, maximum 20 hours, $69 an hour. That's what I'm fucking talking about.
4-20-69.
So I want to end it on a little bit lighter note. This person, Dana Donnelly, I guess is like a Twitter personality who describes themselves as a comedian, but never posts anything funny.
You're supposed to post something funny.
She had an awesome post the other day that was brought to us by a friend of the show, Nashua Lena. My neighbor just asked me to move my car on our public street because she's having a party and she wants her guests to be able to park in front of her house. So, you know, I'm going to call the cops on her super spreado gathering. XO bitch. ACAB, obviously. But these people are white homeowners.
Oh, my God.
Well, then I guess let them die.
ACAB, obviously. But I fucking love that.
That's incredible. That's such a big
but.
Like, I think this person is of like Southeast Asian ancestry or something. So maybe they're not completely white, but they are definitely like white passing enough that it's just like, no, you're being a fucking Karen.
Cop.
Yeah.
Well, it's also like, the cops.
Don't have a fucking party, sure, but like also if your neighbor is like, hey, I'm having an event tonight, can you just move your car for one night? Like, are you really such a fucking psycho that you have to take that and politicize it and go on the internet with it?
Yeah.
Like, just move your car. Just be a good fucking neighbor for 2 fucking seconds. Or, even if the person you're doing it for is a piece of shit.
Or don't, and be like, hey, fuck you.
Yeah, whatever.
Don't have a party.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Or, you know, if you're going to be a busybody, don't be a fucking coward. Like,
right, yeah.
Do it
yourself. Don't have the cops do it for you. Because what if it's a party? I mean, it could be a party that's like 5 people who don't see anyone else and are wanting to hang out and spend some time together. Then you want the fucking cops to show up? Cops don't wear masks hardly anywhere. They're out there constantly buying donuts in crowded donut shops. No joke. They're going to fucking show up and give your neighbor COVID.
Cops showed up to my orgy and they shot ropes all over my dog.
it's the fucking insane brain state of being like, wow, there's already a super spreader event on my block. I guess we need cops here too.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just making it worse. That's just throwing gasoline on a fire.
Yeah, seriously.
What are you doing? Americans are so broken. Like, we don't have any concept of how to behave.
We're housebroken.
We are absolutely abused to the point that it's like, oh, anything bad, the people who abuse me will fix it. Actually, I definitely hate them. I'm not going back. I'm not getting back together with them, but they are very strong.
They would be good for
this
situation.
It's like, what?
Yeah, I feel like this is
the
thing. Have
a restraining order.
This is the thing that Matt Crisman talks about on his live streams a lot, where he's like, the liberal idea is not that like cops should stop like abusing and killing people of color. It's that they should just do it equally to white people too.
Or they should do it to the people I don't like.
Right. It's like they should be arresting all the white people who stormed the Capitol. If they're white homeowners, then it's fine for the cops. Like, is the implication that they're not going to do anything to them because they're white homeowners?
Or just crabs that it's like, in a bucket mentality.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Instead of lifting people up, the liberal mindset is let's make everybody's life equally shitty so that nobody ever questions why there's a tiny group of elites that live in insane luxury while the rest of us are starving.
Yeah. Wow, that's literally the description of communism I was given by my Republican ninth grade English teacher. Like, almost note for note.
That's so sad.
That sucks.
I know.
Well, on that note.
On that note.
ACAB butt.
Alexa, ACAB this butt, is so you know. Sad. Please play All My Life. I've been looking for the magic.
Jeff Bezos is a pig, but Alexa, play Despacito, please.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this bonus episode of BP Bledis. Please follow us on @WeedPod because we need followers there. Otherwise, you know all the things. Thanks so much for being with us. Goodbye.
Bye.
Keep on, y'all.